drink. You gotta do something. You gotta work. But it's so hard. You know it's hard. Sometimes I feel like going down. You gotta live. You gotta love. You gotta be somebody. You gotta show. But it's hard. You know it's hard. Sometimes I feel like going down. But when it's good.
Hello again and welcome to I've Got a Beatles Podcast with Dave and Chris. And we have a fun episode, we hope, today. It's we're not doing an album review or talking about anything in the news recently, but it's more of a hypothetical, and it's in response, in a way, to a long time ago when we did an episode called The Beatles Live in 79, and we put together a potential set list if the Beatles had reunited. And I remember we got a lot of interesting feedback and comments on that, and so this time we had recently read that John Lennon was planning on going on tour with Yoko right after Double Fantasy was released in 1980. And so we thought it might be fun to put together a set list to see what it would have been like if John and Yoko had toured in 1981.
Yeah, when you mentioned this, I was like, oh, this is a really interesting thought of how he'd build the set around his more recent work. I was like really like excited to dig way back into the Lennon catalog.
Yeah. And
been listening to a lot of great songs and a couple of duds.
Did you find it kind of tough in a way, because we look back and really John just had about 10 years of recordings, and if you think about even more, it's fewer than that because he took all those years off from after Rock and Roll to Double Fantasy. So it's kind of a very limited pool of solo music, and it's like very targeted type music too.
Yeah, well, I think that we've always struggled with that, because it's like, well, we'd like to talk about John more, but we don't want to, like, there's a very finite amount of John stuff to talk about. So
right.
It's like a little difficult to find ways to have episodes around his work, so I end up listening to a lot more McCartney and George and stuff, like Ringo even in preparation for the podcast. So it was like very refreshing to like, oh yeah, John Lennon's catalog, like to dig in, you know.
Absolutely.
And there's a real mixed bag in there too. Like there's a whole album of covers, obviously, that, you know, some of the albums are kind of weak. I don't know. So, some weak spots.
And so it's kind of tough. And then, you know, we want to think at that point, McCartney had toured a lot, of course, in the 70s and was starting to bring back Beatle tunes. But would John have played many of his old Beatles songs? That's going to be something interesting to find out in your set list.
Yeah. So that's the first question is, would he play any Beatles songs? Now, we do have an example in Live from New York City. He did play at least one Beatles song.
Yep.
When he performed with Elton John, he played a Beatles song too. So I'm going to say yes, despite his constantly acting like the Beatles catalog was worthless and didn't matter in interviews. I think he's gonna mix in just a few, but keep it really focused on his own work. So that was one assumption I was making. Another assumption I jumped to is that this next album's going to come out, because he was obviously working on and recording the stuff that would turn out to be Milk and Honey. So I'm going to just assume that would be an album that would come out, say, in June of 81 or something. Mm-hmm. And that this concert's maybe late in 81, and he's got these two albums that have come out in the last 2 years that he's pulling a lot of the material from.
Yeah. That's a good assumption, because of, you know, what we know, he actually had a lot more stuff than just came out on Double Fantasy, and the tunes were started and some kind of half finished. But you would have assumed that he would have continued and finished the rest of them. So that's we can definitely draw from that catalog, and then our favorite assumption is that Yoko would have been involved somewhere on the concert, probably. I don't know, do you think it would have been like Double Fantasy alternating, or would it have been like, okay, well, here's a Yoko set, and...
I think it would have been like three tunes, John tunes, and then like a Yoko, and then three more, and then, you know,
yeah,
Yoko, and maybe a couple. In fact, I've got one interesting one on my list that maybe they'd play, and it would be interesting to hear them do as a duet.
Mm-hmm.
So there would probably be a little bit of that. So, but for the purposes of this, we're not going to mention the Yoko song.
No.
Like, well, here comes Kiss, 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 of course.
Yeah, here's a spotlight for Mrs. Lennon. Or, yeah, no, we're not going to do any of that.
So just assume every three or four songs, you'll be taking a bathroom break.
Yeah. Time to get a beer.
Yeah. There was one other thing. When I was crafting my list, I had the baseline of the more recent work in mind.
Mm-hmm.
So I picked first. I kind of picked like the ones I'd most think that he would play it from Double Fantasy, and I'm sure it wouldn't have been called Milk and Honey.
Yeah,
whatever that album turned into. I'm sure, you know, the hot new single from that, that was my baseline. And then I was like, what songs kind of fit with that?
Mm.
So for me, you know, I mean, there are some obvious ones that he'd almost have to play.
Right.
But that we'll get to. But I was kind of like working around that assumption. So I picked a few ones, interesting ones that I think could have fit in there.
Oh, interesting. Okay. That's a good way to put things together. And I sort of thought the same way. I started with Double Fantasy tracks and then put other ones around. Yeah, like you say, there's certain ones that he'll have to do. But I also thought that this was 1981, so it was right after an election with a new president in the U.S. And of course, he was living there. And the thing about Lennon's solo material is so much of it is very political that I think there's going to be a political edge to a lot of this, and the Cold War and Russian relations, all that stuff happening. So I figured he's going to be doing a lot of political type tunes here. So
you start with Attica State.
Yeah.
Well, you're not next, those. You go to the
Angela.
I don't want to be a soldier, Mama.
Not quite that. <one. laughs> No, a little more broad than that, but certainly some political tunes in there.
One more thing about my set. Because of Live in New York City's out there, I sort of shied away from some of the ones that were in that concert just because I was like, I think he'd mix it up with different stuff.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe he'd go out there, play Well, 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 and It's So Hard, and, you know, all these again, you know, that kind of. But I just decided, I'm going to shy away from those two.
Yeah. That's true. Actually, I don't have many from that set, from that concert at all on here, so must have subconsciously thought about that. another thing we were thinking of is who would be playing with him on tour, and it would make the most sense probably that he would be playing with his Double Fantasy and then the Milk and Honey group, so Earl Slick and those sort of session guys probably would have been the group to go on tour with. I'm wondering, do you think he would have had any guest artists with him, like with the, you know, when he appeared with Elton John out of the blue, or do you think he would have asked anybody else to join him?
Maybe May Pang on tambourine.
Maybe, well, like Harry Nilsson or something, or
maybe. He's in L.A., so it's like, oh, Harry, come up. We'll do Old Dirt Road or something. Yeah. You know, something Harry was involved in. Mount Elba.
Yeah, Mount Elba.
That's a great song.
It is, it is. Yeah, but we could assume that there would be some guests along the way, depending on wherever he was. Now, he'll be pretty rusty, because he hasn't really played live since... He hasn't played a live concert, full concert, since 72. So, that's a long
time. Yeah, that's why I'm like... I was really thinking, like, I wonder if he'd gear up, put that next album out, gear up with the 6 months of rehearsals.
Yeah, probably.
To really get in good shape, like get the band in good shape.
Right.
I don't know if he'd do that or not. You know, Live in Toronto, was that rehearsed a lot?
No.
I don't think so.
Not at all. So, no, he's not McCartney.
Maybe if it's a headlining tour and it's sponsored by Visa. And this, that's the other thing about 1981 particularly. It's just a little before the big, big concert era. I don't know. Maybe not. I mean, guess there was. I guess there had been, you know, Fleetwood Mac and things like that.
Yeah, there was stuff in the 70s, but not quite like it would be with Bruce Springsteen or some of those huge arena type shows.
Yeah, yeah. It's before the sponsorship era, where it's like, you know, the ticket prices go way higher and the, you know, whole tour is sponsored by somebody and you get your, so I don't know.
Right. So, yeah, well, should we dig in here? Let's see what we have. We each made a list of 20 songs.
Yeah, neither of us know either of our lists this
No,
time.
This is in keeping with our usual tradition here. We have no idea what the other chose. We figured there would be two encores, so it'll be 20 songs total, but 18, you know, quote-unquote real show songs and then two encores. And I had originally separated into two sets, so I'll mention where the division line falls. But for ease of remembering and discussion, we're going to split it into four groups of five. So I guess I'll start out here. So my first five songs, I have Just Like Starting Over, I'm Losing You, Instant Karma, Love, and Stand By Me. The reason I chose Just Like Starting Over, it starts out with a little bell, and I thought it could work well in the dark, kind of as a way to introduce to start off the whole set.
Yeah.
And then it's obviously starting over in a way. Then I follow it up with the 1-2 punch of I'm Losing You, which is a good rocker. Instant Karma. I like to have three in a row kind of driving tunes. So Instant Karma. Then we'll take it down with Love. And then we'll do Stand By Me. We'll throw in a cover in the middle of the set, of set one here, which was also a hit.
Let's hear a little I'm Losing You, and then I'll react. Well, I like it. I'm looking at this here. I like you start with two new songs, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Just Like Starting Over is kind of an interesting song to open with. Sort of like, here I am again.
Exactly.
I like that. Instant Karma's good. Love wasn't on my list, but I really like that song. I think it would be amazing to see it in concert. And Stand By Me is good. I think that's a good choice of an oldie. You know he's going to play some sort of oldie.
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course.
So why not play his big hit oldie?
Sure, because I thought you probably had Bebop-a-Lula, because I know that's your favorite song.
I got Boney Maroney played. Like the whole second set's just Boney Maroney.
Yes.
All right. So my set starts similarly amped up, but I keep it going for a little while longer. And I open with What You Got.
Ooh.
So I think it'd be just a blistering, awesome opening.
Mm-hmm.
And then he follows that up with Power to the People.
Mm-hmm.
Now everybody's like on their feet, just going crazy. And then the brand new hit song, just released as a single, I'm Steppin' Out.
Ooh.
Yep. And then I'm Losing You.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Mind Games.
Hmm.
All right. So let's hear a little what you've got.
Wow, that was pretty hot. Is that some Screaming John there?
Yeah. Yeah. Baby, give me one more chance.
Interesting collection of songs here. So we're starting out with an album track, which I think is brave, but it's a good, it sets the stage. It's got the right feel for an opening tune. So you could have the band groove on that for a while and then bring him out and then start it proper. So.
Yeah, I think it's a good way to introduce like a full band too.
Yeah,
like,
the horns.
Oh, we got some horns. We got backup singers probably.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because you're gonna need them for "Power of the People."
Yeah, true. Yeah, that's a good one. That'll get the crowd singing "Power to the People." Then I'm Steppin' Out. Interesting choice there. What made you put that in there so early?
I thought of the you know, I always tend to notice at concerts that the newest song that's not quite the big hit is usually early in a set.
That's true.
It's usually third, fourth in a set. That way it's like, well, we haven't lost them yet.
Yeah.
You know, whenever people put it later in a set, in fact, McCartney does that sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
He puts it later in a set and people run to the restroom. It's like, no.
That's true.
You want to catch them while they're still like very engaged, like, you know, they're over the shock of like, ah, I'm seeing John Lennon, I can't believe it.
Yeah,
but give them a chance to listen to the, you know, new hit songs.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't think of it that way. And then of course I'm Losing You and Mind Games was a hit, so good choice as well in there. So
yeah,
very good. So songs 6 through 10, we have Watching the Wheels. Then I put Mind Games. Then Dear Yoko. And then I had ended the first set of my 9 songs with Come Together to take an intermission, but we'll finish it, my set here, or begin the next one with Whatever Gets You Through the Night.
Those
would be the 5 in that set. So maybe we could hear a little, I don't know, Dear Yoko's a tune that I don't think we've ever played on the podcast. And
yeah, that's very interesting.
Might
so
be
let
kind
me,
of a, a, I oops. Mean, it was either O Yoko or Dear Yoko. So I think this was the one that was a hit.
I wish you were here, my dear Yoko. Even if it's just a day, I miss you in your way. I wish you were here today, hey, dear Yoko. Even if it's just one night, I miss you and it don't feel right. I wish you were here tonight. Like a faded flower. Ain't nothing in the world like our love, dear.
Yeah, that's kind of refreshing hearing a little Dear Yoko.
Yeah, I haven't heard that one in a long time.
Yeah, it doesn't really spin over here too often.
No.
But yeah, I could totally see him playing that or Oh Yoko. I was sort of tossing around Oh Yoko possibly being on my list as well. I really like both of those songs. I think would be really great to hear live.
Yeah, definitely.
Watching the Wheels, of course, real right after Stand By Me too. That's kind of Stand By Me, and then Watching the Wheels. I like that, and then it goes into Mind Games. Dear Yoko really amps it up, and then Come Together. Yeah, can't lose with Come Together.
Nope.
Over us, over them.
Over you,
remember we,
over here.
Yeah. When he goofed around on stage with those lyrics.
Yeah.
And then, whatever gets you through the night. You really need that full band for that one.
Oh, huh? Yeah, totally, totally.
So. Now, does Elton John come out at that point?
If they're
in a flowery sort of like...
with his glases and
shimmering
everything.
Baseball uniform with his big glasses and, you know.
Absolutely, depending on where they are, if they're in London or if they're in New York or wherever Elton is. Yeah, he can come out and join him on that one for sure.
Duck costume. I think he's
duck costume. Frilly, yeah.
You have one Beatles song there.
So far, yes.
And so far. And I start this set with a really interesting Beatles song, Across the Universe. So that's
Ooh.
That's where I start my sixth song, right after Mind Games.
Mm-hmm.
Gives the fans what they want with a little Across the Universe.
Yeah.
Then I've got Remember, then Watching the Wheels, Jealous Guy, and Number 9 Dream. So I'm going to play, let's play Remember. Let's hear a little of that.
An interesting set there, those five tunes. Remember from Plastic Ono Band. I always like that tune, and it's like we were talking during the while we were listening there that you have a couple tunes that have piano in a row, which is good. So John could take the piano for Remember, Watching the Wheels, and Jealous Guy. The last couple of those were really well known. So yeah, Remember, that's digging back into the archives. I like that.
I thought, too, you know, if he's really looking at the songs that he's playing and thematically, it's, you know, just like Starting Over and Watching the Wheels. I feel like Remember really kind of fits with that. It sort of sounds similar. It's not like a big stretch of the vocal, you know, and. You know, he did sort of tend into those piano-based tunes sort of towards the end of his career there.
That's true.
So, yeah.
And then Number 9 Dream, of course, that's going to make my list as well in the next set, in fact. So
okay.
Yeah, so here
what
we
do we
are.
Get?
For my third collection of five, we have Nobody Told Me, Beautiful Boy, Jealous Guy, Number 9 Dream, and Woman. So, in fact, I have two in a row that are the same as yours. I put Jealous Guy and Number 9 Dream back-to-back. So, maybe we should listen to Number 9 Dream, because that's always a good one to hear.
So you start reviewing here. Nobody Told Me. Mm-hmm. So that's the big hit.
Yep.
Number one song of the year, probably at that point.
Yes.
Beautiful Darling Cole. Oh no, wait, it's Beautiful Boy. That's the movie version from that movie.
Holland's Opus, right?
Mr. Holland's Opus.
Ugh, yeah.
It's one of the worst movie moments in history. we'll get to that when we review Mr. Holland's Opus at some point. Jealous Guy, of course, that made both of our lists. Number 9, Dream made both of our lists. And we just played that. And Woman. Now, Number 9, Dream, do you think, what do you think, how are they going to play it?
Because of
all
question.
The strings.
Yeah, without the strings, it's going to be a little thin. I don't know. It might work better, maybe more acoustically. It's so that whole album, Walls and Bridges, I think is very overproduced and overly thick. So it may actually sound better stripped a bit. So yeah, I think they could probably do it pretty well.
Well, so I ended with number 9 Dream sort of started the second set, mm-hmm. is what we're calling it. And then I've got these five. The 11th song is Ballad of John and Yoko.
Ooh.
then Woman.
Uh-huh.
Then Stand By Me. Just Like Starting Over. And How.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm going to play a little Ballad of John and Yoko. Why don't we listen to that one?
Well, cool choice with the Ballad of John Yoko, so bringing another Beatle tune back into the mix here. What made you, was it because they'd be performing together, or how'd you choose that one?
Oh, well, I think it's one of the few Beatles songs that might actually be improved by Yoko singing on it, because it is the Ballad of John and Yoko, and
that's true.
We've got you know, Paul on the original recording, which he does a great job on it. I mean, I'm not going to disparage Paul's performance on it or anything, but to see it live with Yoko singing the backup vocals towards the end would be kind of cool.
It would.
It's sort of like their theme song. Kind of.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I like that. And then to follow that up with Woman, mm-hmm. where it's sort of like a love song to her, I thought that would be good. And then we're probably going to go into, you know, her. Every man has a woman who loves him or something
for sure,
like that.
For sure.
You know. Yeah. And then Stand By Me and Just Starting Over, I think, are a good match together.
Yep. And then I've seen your list so far. You've gone more into the deep tracks than I have. You've pulled out some more of the gems, the hidden gems, like How, which is a great tune on Imagine. And, yeah, is that also kind of what made you think of that one here?
I think it kind of, once again, it's sort of like, actually what I was thinking about, just like Starting Over is kind of like, we're starting over, and then How sort of like, I don't know what direction to go.
Ah.
I thought like, and then you'll find out the next song.
Okay.
that I chose, followed. Another interesting choice, kind of follows with that sort of like a thematic little run of tunes. So.
Okay, cool. Well, very good. So my final five, I have two Beatle tunes back to back here, and they're both. One of them he played live. So I have Your Blues.
Okay.
And then Revolution.
Wow, so I like it.
Gets back to back. Then Power to the People is the closer of the set proper. And then my two encores, which I'm guessing they're probably the same as yours, but I have Imagine and Give Peace a Chance.
What do you want to hear out of that?
Let's do, how about Power to the People?
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, you say you want a revolution right after Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good. So you got a little thematic here thing there with those two.
Yes.
And then Imagine Give Peace a Chance. Pretty good encores there.
Yep.
You can have Your Blues, too.
Everybody can be singing Give Peace a Chance until they leave the stage. So just repeating. That would work well. That's all that we're saying, yes. And then Your Blues, just because they did that one with the super group and the Rolling Stones movie. So, And John always likes to play the blues. So he also played it in '69 as well at the live piece in Toronto.
Yeah, we're probably even underestimating the amount that he's going to want to play, like stuff like Your Blues and old rock songs.
50s tunes, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
My set's sort of a little less that.
Yeah.
But
you have now your last five are, it's Boney Maroney and then the two versions of Ya Ya. And...
yeah, that's right. Ya Ya. Ya Ya again.
Yep.
So I had played just like Starting Over and then How, and then I'm following that up with one more Beatle pull, Nowhere Man.
Ooh. Uh huh.
which maybe you wouldn't play it, but I think it's an interesting little fit in there.
Yeah.
And then Nobody Told Me.
Yep, got that
there. That's the big giant hit. So it's like, oh yeah, oh, finally he played it. And then I got Instant Karma, ending the regular set proper. And then guess what?
Yeah.
Imagine a Give Peace a Chance. So let's hear Nobody Told Me, because that's
yeah.
D-Ball. Everybody's talking, no one says a word. Everybody's making love, no one really cares. There's Natchez in the bathroom, just below the stairs. Always something happening, nothing going on. There's always something cooking, nothing in the pot. They're starving back in China, so finish what you got.
So great, always great to hear Nobody Told Me, which yeah, is definitely, it kind of goes well. There's also a thematic thing with Nowhere Man, Nobody Told Me as well that I like in there. And then, of course, the last three are really famous. All three are famous, so it would be a good 1-2-3 closer on that set. So interesting, on Nowhere Man, they'd have to do a lot of rehearsal on the background vocals to get those just right. I don't know if Yoko would be on that one.
I don't Nowhere Man. I don't know, or he could do a quieter, a version of it of some sort. So I don't know.
Interesting. So when you look back at both of our sets here, what do you take away? We have a lot in common and a lot not.
I mean, we both got a lot from the newer album.
Yes.
Nobody Told Me is on both of our list, as is I'm Losing You, as is Watching the Wheels and Woman. You know, you've got Beautiful Boy. I steer clear of that one for reasons, but I added I'm Stepping Out. We both got Nobody Told Me, so yeah, real good as far as that goes. And then I think we both looked for things to kind of fill in. Oh, just like Starting Over too.
Yeah,
we both
right
get that. Yeah, I think it would be that he'd play mostly these newer tunes.
Yeah,
play a sprinkle in a couple Beatles just for fun. Yeah, it's interesting looking at Beatles songs though and wondering what he would play and what he wouldn't live.
Tough. Yeah,
it's tough because it's like, well, it's songs, and the ones I chose is like songs he can take real genuine ownership
yes
of.
That's the problem,
like, this is my right tune. But Ballad of John and Yoko is clearly his. It's yes almost more of a John solo tune than
It's almost harder to do that with John than with McCartney by the end, because you can just pick off one after another of, you know, Hey Jude, Let It Be, Long Winding Road. They're just total McCartney tunes that, and John kind of got, you know, a lot of people have described, got kind of lazy on the last album or two and just kind of half wrote tunes and didn't put too much great stuff on Let It Be and things like that.
Most of his contributions to, I Want You is there, but I'm not sure if he'd play that live or not.
Right.
And then most of his other contributions to that album are little tidbitty right type stuff that he, you know, and he's, once again, back to his interview, is just, that's a little piece of garbage that I threw on, you know, that kind of thing. And previous to that, he's two or three biggest, like, songs that you're like, oh, he's the lead guy on these. It's like I Am the Walrus,
right,
and
Strawberry Fields
and Tomorrow Never Knows, and songs like that are gonna be real difficult to pull off live, or maybe today's era they'd be able to do it, you know.
Yep.
Seeing how Paul's playing benefit of Mr. Kite.
That's true.
So there'd be a way to do him eventually, probably, but at the time, 81, it'd be a little, you know, I can't imagine John wanting, like, a bunch of electronic equipment and stuff like that. It's like,
no,
just come out and play rock and roll, man.
Right. Yeah, you know, exactly. And also another problem is some of his early solo stuff, like Sometime in New York City, or, you know, that stuff is so, I don't want to say dated, now it's very dated, but it's very period, and it would seem kind of weird to sing some of those songs at that point in the 80s, when the events were 10 years ago, and kind of very specific, so it kind of
It'll be an interesting look. I think we're maybe later in the year going to do Sometime in New York City and take a look at that, because it'll be interesting to see. Well, this one's definitely dated, and this one still works somehow, even though it is dated, and this one, you know,
right.
So, but yeah, it's a weird album for sure. It's like, when you discount that, and then I, you know, Rock and Roll.
That's another one, right?
Another odd album, but it's like his tendency. I mean, I'd imagine he'd probably, rather than Nowhere Man, be playing, you know,
Ain't
oh, let's play
shame.
It. Yeah, let's play something like that.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. But it's an interesting exercise anyway, and there's certainly, I think it would be a well-attended tour, and it would have been very exciting to have that. Just the fact to see him out, because he never did a tour like George did his tour, and Paul, of course. And just to see John would be pretty exciting, especially coming off a successful album. So just unfortunate that events happened as they did.
Well, what should we go out with here?
Whew. Well, I don't know. Both of us had Imagine and Give Peace a Chance at the end. So maybe Give Peace a Chance. I don't know if we ever played that one. So
let's do Give Peace a Chance to go out here. And Yeah,
this is episode 96, and we have a couple more. We're going to be asking for your input. Chris has he'll need your input at some point here as we get close to 100, so more on that soon.
Yep.
And I wanted to announce, we posted this on Facebook a little bit, but there's going to be a conference in Ann Arbor, Michigan at the University of Michigan, June 1st to the 4th, and it's celebrating the 50th anniversary of Sgt. Pepper. A lot of friends of the show will be involved presenting. I'll be presenting a paper there. And if anyone is around that area at all, we'd love to get together and meet up. And also, you could meet a lot of big names in the Beatle world who are going to be there as well, sort of Beatle scholars and things like that. So we'll post more on that as we get closer, but just to put that on your horizon. And anything else coming up for you?
No, we're working on we've been working on a project sort of behind the scenes for a while, and we're keep working on that. It might be a little bit longer for that. And we got a lot of other great episodes. I got I'm Mine coming in the mail. You've
yes,
got it.
I did get it.
So at some point we'll have I think that might be for the gifts episode to talk about that. But
definitely.
That came out. I'm sure Dave rushed out and bought the vinyl box set of...
I was standing on the street corner collecting money for the $479 George Harrison box set. I've been selling my house and everything else to get that. But if anybody has the box set, we'd love to hear your opinions or see what... I mean, it looks gorgeous from the video, so I'm sure it is terrific.
Yeah.
But anyway...
All right. Well, let's hear a little Give Peace a Chance to go out, and we'll talk to you soon.
Two, one, two, three, four.